Good morning, everyone. So I'll be reading from Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 25. If you need a physical Bible, just raise your hand up. If not, just follow along the screen or on your own personal devices. Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 25. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Here ends the reading.
All right, welcome again. If you're new, it's great to have you here. Let me encourage you to QR code there for the Bible passage to look along as I preach. Or if you prefer a hard copy, you can put your hand up and one of the welcoming team will bring you a Bible, if there's anyone. No worries. Okay, let me pray, then we'll get into it. Father God, we just thank you so much, Lord, that we have this time to pause at Easter time to truly reflect on what you've done for this whole world and for us through your Son Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins and who rose from the dead. What does that mean for us, Lord? We bring ourselves, our whole mind and heart before you. Help us to search what is happening. Take a moment to reflect, to be honest before you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's been a crazy start to the year with the war in Iran and all over the Middle East, really. But when you think about it, for many years now, the world has been groaning. Before one war has ended, another war has started. From Russia and Ukraine to Israel and Gaza not too long ago, and now in Iran. All these wars. Still going on, all of them, by the way. Ukraine has not ended. Over 300,000 people have been killed in these conflicts. Millions of people injured or displaced from their homes. And even though these wars are thousands of kilometers away, and yes, we are the lucky country in some ways, we're so far away from all these troubles, like we also are feeling some of this groaning ourselves. You know, all the way from the Strait of Hormuz. You know, we've seen it at the fuel pump. You know, it hit $3 in some places. We got a little bit of relief now from the fuel excise being removed for a few months. But my dad said the other day he went to fill up and he said there was no fuel at his local servo. And we'll have more of those sort of issues moving forward. So we feel it. We feel the global issues affecting us here locally. But let's be honest, like, those are relatively minor things, really. Like, pay a bit extra for Phil, we can deal with that. But for many of us, the groaning is within. It's in our broken relationships. It's in the anxiety that some of us feel about what's happening around us, what's happening in the future, or the groaning that happens because there's trauma in our lives, in our families, trauma that's not dealt with properly, that we can't seem to heal from. Now, on the surface, life often seems that it might be going well. We live in this time, this age, where, you know, this high-tech, curated life in 2026. And everything is designed to make our lives better, to make our lives more comfortable. You know, on a hot day, when I've parked outside, and I know my car's going to be hot, with a few, like, touches on my phone, I can cool my car down before I even get to the car, back to the car. Like, this is the sort of technology we have to make our lives better, to make our lives easier, more comfortable. But let's face it, it's not all okay in our high-tech curated life. With social media, we're more connected than ever before, but we're actually also more disconnected than ever before. And underneath all the feel-good Instagram stories is this underlying profound sense of FOMO, looking at other people's lives and how good they have it, but what about me? And then with AI, this age of AI, like, whole industries are changing. And many companies letting go of staff because they no longer need this area of personnel because AI can handle it. And so we're left wondering in this age, what is the future going to look like? You know, what does a career look like in 5 years' time? You might be studying something at university now, but who knows if you'll even have a job in that area in 5 years' time. And then there is the inevitable groan of our own human bodies. No one wants to grow old. No one wants to grow sick. No one wants to die. So if you look at what is all over the internet, is this sense of, like, how can we get healthier? How can we biohack this and biohack that so we can be stronger, healthier, live longer? More money has been spent on medical research than ever before. But we all grow old, we all get sick, and we all die. And sometimes all this groaning that we experience around us and within us, it's inescapable. It's consuming. It's right in your face. It's like this black hole that swallows up joy, that swallows up hobbies, that swallows up friendships, and consumes our prayer. And it can feel like we're drowning in our present troubles. Now, if you're feeling like that today, then I want to say I feel for you. I feel you as well. You know, just because I'm a pastor, it doesn't mean I'm immune from troubles. I feel it too. And I know what it's like when sometimes the troubles feel so unrelenting. But today is Easter Sunday, and we remember that Christ is risen. And we're here to celebrate this tremendous news that Christ is risen. But the question I'm faced with is, how can we celebrate? How can we feel victorious when we have these troubles around us and troubles within? Sometimes it's hard to see. And the reality is that our present suffering can sometimes make it very hard for us to see the glory, to feel the victory, and that's what this is meant to represent. It's like holding up a coin right up in your eye, and it's small. Our present troubles, it seems so small at times or so big, but it just consumes everything. We can't see the glory behind the trouble. And Paul wants us to like move that coin away and see what is behind, see the glory that is in the risen Lord Jesus. And that's what I want us to think about today. That's my first point. This Easter Sunday, the day when we think about the risen Christ, that this truth, this history should give us true perspective in all of our issues and all of our trouble, all of our trauma. Have a look at verse 18. This is what the Apostle Paul says. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Now, Paul starts with the words, I consider. In the original Greek, this is like a mathematical term. It means to calculate, to weigh up things. And so on the one hand, he weighs up present sufferings, the broken relationships, the chronic illness, the anxiety about this or that. And he doesn't say, oh, they're not real. They're not heavy. Yes, they are heavy. They are real. They are present. And here, right now, we experience them now. They're present. So he's not saying they're not there. They're there. But on the other side, he puts the glory to be revealed. And when he considers the glory, he concludes that that glory, when we consider it, is so weighty, so heavy, so grand and so precious and beautiful and incredible that it far outweighs the present suffering. It's not worth comparing, he says. And in the midst of our sometimes overwhelming present circumstances, Paul wants to remind us that our present suffering will one day give way to our far greater glory. So let me ask you, when is the last time that you've truly considered the future glory that Christ has won for you? And that is what we need to do when we're consumed by the here and now, is to take the time to consider the glory. Imagine dragging a super heavy suitcase through train terminals in the airport. The suitcase is, double the weight limit that you're meant to have to put on the plane. And your arm is like struggling, hurting, aching. You're sweating. You're suffering. But then you remember that in that suitcase is $100 million worth of gold bars. All of a sudden, that suffering, that weight, becomes rather meaningless because you know the value, the glory that's in that suitcase. You aren't complaining about the sore arm anymore because you know it's worth it. That's perspective. That's the perspective, the sort of perspective that the Apostle Paul wants us to have when we compare our present sufferings and we consider the glory that has been won for us through Jesus. And I think this really matters, and it matters for two reasons. Firstly, it gives us permission to say that yes, this does hurt. Our suffering is there. We aren't forced to say that we're okay when we're not. We don't have to pretend to say that this side of heaven, everything is always okay when it's not. And I want to say to you, yeah, that's me too. If you're feeling that, that's me too. It's overwhelming at times, and I've lost sleep over different issues in my life. And we need to be okay to say, hey, in life sometimes it's not okay to be honest, to be real, not to fake it. But in the midst of it, it's also important to be reminded about the glory, because it tells us, it reminds us that suffering, our present suffering, is not the final word. That is not the end of the story. That there is a future, a better story that we'll have in the future. It tells us that our current pain is only temporary. And one day, it will be completely outweighed by the glory that we have in eternity. So consider the future that has been won for us through the risen Christ. Now I want us to see that Paul doesn't just look at our individual lives. He goes on and he looks at the whole world and he sees that even the earth is crying out and groaning and crying out for change. So point number two, what we see is not just people, but all of creation is groaning for renewal. Have a look there, verses 19 to 22. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. So from the fall came punishment, came toil, came pain and suffering, and that pain has been here ever since, in up to this present time. And Paul says, this whole earth is waiting and it's frustrated and it's in bondage to decay and it's groaning. This is the reality of what has happened when sin entered the world. We are living in this broken, fallen world affected by sin. And so we have all these issues in our relationships and how we treat one another. And we get sick and there's natural disasters in this world, this creation, all of creation itself is broken and decaying. You know, that Greek word frustration is like, you know, you're trying to get somewhere and you try to get there, you try to get there, but the more you try, it seems you're not getting any closer. That sense of frustrating, just like running in the same place over and over again, trying to get there, but not getting there. Feels so frustrating at times. And this is how creation was not meant to be. It was not meant to decay, but it is. And all the trouble within us, all the trouble is around us. But notice this metaphor that he uses, this metaphor of childbirth. Now, it's pretty obvious, you know, as a man, I'd never experienced that pain of childbirth before. But I heard, correct me if I'm wrong, but the mums say, yeah, childbirth, really easy. Really, really easy. No pain. It's all good. No. We know, right? It's one of the most painful experiences that someone can experience. The pain is great. And, you know, the mums will probably be able to tell you that the pain is great. And they're probably, if they could even talk, they'll be screaming out. Screaming out like, oh, hurry up. I want this done with, over with already. I just want this pain over. I can't wait till this is finished. But when the baby finally arrives, it's like there's unspeakable joy as they hold their child for the first time. And all that pain is quickly forgotten because there's so much elation at what they're holding in their hands right now, their very own child. And that is the picture which Paul wants us to have. As we wait in suffering, We wait eagerly not just for the pain to be over, but also for the joy that awaits us in the future glory. That is what this metaphor is about. This whole world feels waiting in frustration, groaning, eagerly waiting. All the floods and all the earthquakes, all the sickness, all the wars, all the ridiculous fuel prices, all our own troubles within and trauma. This whole world is longing for the decay to be over. But there is a sense of anticipation that on the other side of this groaning, this childbirth pain, is this new creation. That one day, this whole world will be completely renewed and we'll have a new heaven and a new earth without pain or mourning or sorrow or any need for crying. But the question we might wonder about is, if this new creation is coming, why are we still hurting? Why are we still sitting in this waiting room like in a hospital? And this leads me to my third point that I want to make this morning, and that is, although we wait eagerly for the new creation, our hope is sure today. In the midst of our pain, our hope is sure today because Christ is risen. There is a strange tension that we're living in right now as a Christian. You know, we say, you know, we are a new people, children belonging to God, yet we still struggle. We still experience sorrow. We still experience depression. We say Jesus is won, yet sometimes we feel like we're losing. This in-between feeling can sometimes make us feel like giving up on our faith. And maybe that's where some of you are at today. That you're experiencing trouble and maybe you blame God for it. You know, God's let you down and you feel no hope. But what does the risen Christ tell us? It tells us that there is hope. If Christ really did rise from the dead, there is hope. The future is sure because of the risen Jesus. And so we need a hope that can hold the weight of all of our troubles. And that is Christ, who died and rose from the dead. He says there, verse 23 to 25, not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not have yet, we wait for it patiently. So Paul combines two things. Here, there is groaning, as I've said, but there is hope. Groaning and hopefulness. And even with the Holy Spirit, we still groan because we are in what theologians call the overlap of the ages. Let me try and explain this to you. We are in this... this overlap of the ages. So the Bible talks about history like this. We are in this present age. The age we're in now is still subject to death, decay, sin. We still suffer. That's the present age. But then there is the age to come, this future glory that Paul has been talking about, where God will one day fully restore everything. There's no more sin, no more suffering, no more death. There's perfect justice and life with God forever will be good. Now here's the surprising part. The New Testament teaches us that we are in this time where we're between two ages, and there's this overlap between the ages. This present age, we're still in it now, but the age to come has already begun. It's already begun because Christ has already come. He's already risen. He's already died on the cross and rose from the dead. And so that future hope, that future glory has already begun and is guaranteed. That day will come. And it will be fully here with Christ's second coming. Sin will be absolutely defeated. And death will be no more. And we who have trusted in Jesus will rise from the dead. That is a certainty. Because Christ has already died and already risen from the dead. And right now, he is ascended to heaven, sitting at the right hand of God, preparing a room for those who have trusted in Jesus. And that is what he is doing, interceding for you and I right now. So although this side of heaven we still suffer, there is hope. We still groan, but there is sure and certain hope. This is the hope that Easter Sunday brings to us. This broken world that we live in, there is hope for the world. We groan today because, yes, we're still in this present age, still suffering. But one day it'll be no more. We groan like a mother who knows that the baby is coming. That's how we groan. We have hope like a mother looking forward, about to give birth. If Jesus stayed in the grave, our groaning would be useless. We're just groaning towards death. But because the tomb is empty, Christ is risen, our groaning is a victory march. We look forward to the glorious future. So as you leave today, I want you to consider that future glory that has been won for you in Jesus. The future is secure because Christ is risen. On Good Friday, he died for our sins. We're forgiven for our sins when we trust in Jesus. Why do we know that? Because Christ is risen. And on Easter Sunday, he rose from the dead. So in the midst of your struggle and suffering, remember the hope that you have in the risen Christ. He's sitting at the right hand, interceding for you now. So this is what I want to do. I want to finish by doing something different. I want us to declare to one another that Christ is risen. So let us encourage one another. And I want you to do this with me if you could. If you could all stand. And if you agree with this, I'm going to say Christ is risen. And if you agree with this, I want you to declare it out loud to one another, Christ is risen indeed. You got that? Let's do this together and encourage one another in this present age that we have a hope because Christ is risen. So let me declare to you now, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Amen. Amen. Let me pray. Lord, in a world that is groaning, help us, Lord, to hold on to hope, hope in the risen Lord Jesus. Thank you that because Jesus suffered on the cross for us and he rose from the dead, our suffering right now is not the end. Lift up our eyes to see the glory that you have won for us, Lord, and help us to trust in Jesus. Help us to trust that he is risen, that he reigns even now. He is sitting at your right hand. He's preparing a room for us even now. He's interceding on our behalf through all of our struggle, through all of our suffering. Lord, give us hope in this fallen and broken age to know that our future is secure. And we look forward to that glorious future with you forever, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.